in other news, I typed in that number that rang me.
Oh yeah.
And do you know what shows up? Dublin City Council.
Oh, do you need a visa to
live here? Is this a Cork thing?
It is a Cork thing. Yeah.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
This is Football Saturday, the first weekend of the Premier League season. John Duggan with you through to five. You can WhatsApp us today, 0879 180 180, 0879 180 180. And I am joined in the studio by the ex-English League and League of Ireland striker Owen Doyle and the former League of Ireland and FAI Cup winning defender Graham Gartland. How are we both, gents?
Very good, Very good, John.
Just saying, it was the first time the refs implemented the 8 second rule. He's given Spurs a corner.
All right, this
corner goalkeeper held on to it for
too long.
Yeah, too long, and then they just get a set piece then.
Yeah, Tottenham Burnley is one of the 3 o'clock games we're watching. Goal of Spurs with a positive start here at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Brighton 0, Fulham 0, and Sunderland 0, West Ham 0. It ended goalless as well between Aston Villa and Newcastle. Ezri Konsa sent off, and Wolves and Manchester City has got a 5:30 start. Mad results from the Championship in that Coventry were 5-3 winners away to Derby today, and West Brom beat Wrexham 3-2 away from home. Norwich were 2-1 winners away as well to Portsmouth. So if you're backing away teams in the Championship today, you're doing well. One goal already, Stoke 1-0 up away to Sheffield Wednesday. All the other matches that kicked off at 3 o'clock are goalless. David Connolly is on the line as well from London, the ex-Republic of Ireland striker. How are you, David?
I'm very well, you guys?
Yeah, good. Great to have you back, David. And it's like, you know, I don't know when you're preparing to go out, whatever, all the clothes are fresh and pristine and there's no stains or anything. It's a beautiful, everybody's opinion is right. It just feels great, David. It just feels like the joys of spring, a beautiful day.
Well, let me tell you, my clothes still have a few stains, and I'm glad I've learned how to blur the background, because before I would come on here on Zoom, I'd have to rearrange the furniture because, you know, every room's a mess. So I'm well happy this season if I'm doing this. I can blur the background. So no. I mean, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It should be good. I thought last night was a really good game, right? A lot of goals. A lot of action, emotive, right? With obviously the tragic loss of Diego Jota, but I mean, it is a good way to start the season. The game was great.
Your brother was there, Graham.
Yeah, my brother was over there. He was FaceTiming me so that the boys could see Anfield and stuff. But he said it was unbelievable, like the atmosphere in it, and like David said, emotive is the word. Tingling, you know, so much drama even in the game, and then afterwards the emotion from Salah afterwards would choke you up as well, looking at him, realising that these are people you shared a dressing room with. I don't like using the term, oh, you've gone to battle with, because I think it diminishes what a lot of the stuff that goes on. But I think you've shared a dressing room, you've had a common goal with somebody, and you've built towards something, and you've drove something, and that person's been beside you. And if I look around and for them to not be there in the tragic circumstances that it was, I think it is going to take an effect. And Arne Slot's interview afterwards, when he said the person I was looking for on the bench to get us a goal at that moment wasn't there. And you also realise what they are missing on a professional football level as well. So that was an interesting take from him after the game. And I know there's a lot made about Liverpool, and I think in transitions they do need work, and I think Brian Kerr touched on it, Gravenberch being so vital for them. You realise how good he was last year in stopping counter-attacks. There's goals in the team, and they're going to just blow teams away at times, and they're going to outscore you. My worry is when they come up against a team, say, similar level to them maybe in the big games against Arsenal, Man City, and in the Champions League, they're going to need to be a lot more secure when they're attacking. But it's just an entertainment game, and it's what we've been crying out for entertainment in the league since, you know, everybody goes on about Man City and the way they play and how structured it is, but you've been crying out for an entertainment from all our teams. So just leave a goal, and we can still pick part where we can see them improving, but I still think Liverpool will improve as the league goes on.
Oh, and it was I was at the living room, and I was in complete silence in the living room, and it's just going, wow, this is powerful stuff.
Yeah, look, I started welling up myself and just watching it from the living room myself last night. My three kids were born in Liverpool, like, you know, and the kids have Jota jerseys and stuff and loved them over the last number of years. And then obviously you see Salah at the end, and just a really, really tough situation, you know, and it's kind of, I keep thinking about all the difficult things that have to happen now. Like, you know, like even from upstairs, like they have to replace him. Or someone has to sit in his seat eventually. Or someone, like, you know, all
these... I think that's been kept to...
Yeah, listen, look, you don't know what's going to happen. Someone might do it and then someone might get offended by it in the dressing room. You don't know. Like, it's just there's all these little slightly awkward things because football never stops, you know. And like, I think like one of the good things about like watching the game from the telly last night was that like the cameras never went to his family. I think that was a really good thing, you know. Like, they just kind of let them go and try taking the occasion themselves without trying to make a thing out of it. I think that you kind of have to respect Sky and for making that decision not to go there. But like the minute silence itself, like that was, I've never heard more quiet minute in my life. Like, you know, it was really was incredible. But yeah, like just so tough, like so tough. And obviously the game itself, you're looking at, you obviously see Salah at the end of the match. I thought looking at him in the Community Shield, he seemed very off as well. During the match, you're kind of thinking there's something not there. The obvious thing is he's lost his friend. And there's going to be loads of that throughout the whole season, I'd imagine, from Liverpool. They're all going to have their own moments when it's going to hit them. Maybe most of the time, I'm sure it'll happen off the pitch sometimes on it. But for him to get the goal at the end, I'm glad for him. Like, you know, he's obviously very close to him. But yeah, it's just tough times, like really, really tough times. A goal for Tottenham.
Richarlison 1-0 for Spurs against Burnley. The Brazilian has got it.
Really good volley, actually. Good play down the right hand side. Cut back and it's on the sort of half bounce where he's just wrapped his foot round it. Really good start for your Spurs, JD.
Yeah, he played well tonight against PSG. Richarlison, he was a nuisance, and that's the kind of player he is. And look, it hasn't really happened from there yet. He can be a scorer of great goals, especially remembering the World Cup for Brazil. But look, he's a player that needs probably to score more consistently and stay. He's always getting these niggly injuries, and that's it'll be a tough, like Burnley. An incredible defensive record in the championship last year, but well taken kind of half volley there from Richarlison to give Spurs the lead 1-0.
Say Scott Parker would be devastated with that defending though. Like, it's just a simple clearance down the line. He would have been better off putting it out for a throw in and just hands it back to Tottenham. Great ball into the box though, and as you said, it's a great volley into that far corner. Lovely finish.
Nobody on the edge of the box, did they? Like, you know, when you normally have your line to defend the cross, you normally have a sit midfielder that's around the penalty spot that might just be able to get to it, but it looked like there was a lot of space for Richarlison, that when he did drop off, he wasn't dropping into anybody that could pick him up.
That's a typical centre-half blaming a midfielder for picking up a centre-half's job. That's a centre-half's mark destroyer.
If you make the gap smaller, the goals don't happen. Yous are always just like taking advantage of everything.
Just get tight to your man, simple as that.
Yeah.
David, just on Liverpool's play last night, and you know, there was other incidents in the game, a really unsavoury incident where Anton Semenyo reported a racist incident, which the police are going to investigate now. It's just horrific to see that in football still going on. But and he scored two goals and subsequently to that. But in terms of Liverpool, how they played, was there an imbalance between their defence and attack?
Well, I mean, I think I agree with that, you know, with the lads a little bit, Graham, they're saying that how they'll get on, you know, for example, against a Man City. I think Man City are the ones to watch this season. You know, I think that they're going to be there or thereabouts, like as they always are. But I think they'll, they certainly won't be as open, I don't think, as Liverpool maybe have been in the two games, because we had the Community Shield as well. So there's little bits to work on, I think, and obviously they've got two new defenders, two new fullbacks. They arguably could need another centre half, because I think last year, you know, Konate and Van Dijk, they weren't flawless like any player. They'd have dips, but they might just need to be a little bit tighter in certain situations, but they may get away with it against certain teams because they'll outscore them, as the lads were saying. So the firepower going forward and the quality they've got, Gakpo's goal was great. That was terrific. And Mo Salah's as well, you know, the ground he made up, like, you know, because you had all these people last season and I was there saying, give this guy, give him whatever he wants, you know, sign him up, give him however long. But you know why? Because he's the one player you would want in your football club, that guy. I mean, I just look at him, like the lads were saying, emotional at the end, because he just gets it. He's such a role model for football in general. Anyway, lives right, he's an absolute beast, a god. He built like a, you know, Greek god. And despite all that, he's 90-odd minutes in or whatever. He's still running like the wind to chase a lost cause. Let me tell you, in a lot of clubs, a lot of players wouldn't chase what appears to be lost causes because they just think that's beneath me. But he doesn't. He think that there might be something in this for me. And I'll tell you what, with his right foot, it was a really good goal. Because when he was cutting in, I'm sure there were some people thinking, how's Mo Salah's right foot here? You know, he scores a lot with his left. But, I mean, terrific. So, you know, they have got that firepower and they will outscore teams as well. I just wonder whether, you know, against your Arsenals and Man Cities, I'm sure Arne Slot will evolve because I think you've seen, like, Pep play two fullbacks who go into midfield, like another two holding midfield players and things like that. I think Pep will have something up his sleeve to counter that. And it's just whether they can obviously beat as many teams as Liverpool. So, but I mean, yeah, I thought it was a good start.
Regarding how open they are, obviously just before the start of last season, they were desperate to try sign this defensive midfielder, you know, just kind of Fabinho replacement and Gravenberch obviously just slotted in there and the rest is history basically, and it became apparent after a few months that it wasn't a fluke. He's actually really good in that position. But for all the noise and all the rumours around the further signings they're getting, I'd like to see them still go out and get another defensive midfielder. I think that's probably the only part of the team where they look maybe slightly exposed, especially you've got like whatever about Wirtz, whether he's going to play in as one of them three. You've got McAllister, Szoboszlai, Jones. Whatever about their defensive abilities, they're all more attack-minded. Like even Gravenberch himself is an attacking central midfielder by trade, I suppose you could say, but he's kind of remodeled himself into this holder and he does it extremely well. But I think Liverpool probably need another one in there. If they're going to be dominant and if they're going to like splash the cash like they have been, I'd love to see them go out and get another player like that, you know, to get a believer or something like that.
Yeah, Gravenberch seems to be the one athletically able to cover the most ground out of him. Szoboszlai is really athletic and he runs and he goes, but he's more running beyond and trying to get in touch with Salah and the strikers. But yeah, Gravenberch athletically seems to be the one that's able to cover the most ground, and that relationship between him, Van Dijk, and Konaté then is just. He Slot mentioned something like the rest and defence wasn't right and a couple of counter-attacks, and that's what you're talking about, being set up defensively when you're attacking to nullify the counter-attacks and have that, you know, repetitive attacks come out of it, and that's how you wear teams down, and Liverpool will wear you down like that. But yeah, I agree with that. You're thinking, because I don't think Jones does it, he's really good at collecting the ball in times, but I just think there's a defensive nous at times just to be across and cover certain areas and even interceptions and stop attacks before they happen. But look, they're settling in. The two fullbacks, you've seen that in the first game, the Charity Shield game. You have to get used to that line, that the way Van Dijk plays, and you can see he's used to Robertson, and Robertson will know. And sometimes they did get caught out. But they got caught out in that game with Palace where the line wasn't right neither at times. But look, I still think they're a team to beat. And if Isaac comes, then it's a whole different ball game. Like,
what was your impression, early impressions, David, of Ugo Ekitike? He scored again last night.
Yeah, I mean, he's looked very, very bright. I mean, geez, took his goal well, but his overall game, he's a bit like an Isaac.
Yeah.
He moves like an Isaac. He's quite lithe. He's good in the air. And, you know, we seem to be agreeing a lot so far.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Give it a few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if they got Alexander Isak, then I think it's game over, you know, for everyone. Because, I mean, you know, so no matter what they do. So if that does happen, what they don't want to do is, I guess, probably feel that Ekitike is enough.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he might slow down, get off to a hot start. That's how strikers are, right? You can have streaks and stuff. So you'd want to supplement that. And, you know, but he looks like a really, really good signing. And I guess then now it would come to, like, I don't know, Cesc at Man United and all these other players to go, well, are they going to start off like that? You know, he started off very, very well. So, and one thing, as a striker, on your first game, obviously, you hit the back of the net, bang, you're off and running. And same with Mo Salah. He hasn't had to wait 3, 4, 5 games to get off the mark. He banged in however many 30-odd last season or whatever he got, and he's off and running again. So as a manager, you get your striker scoring in the first game, it's happy days. You know, everyone's off to a good one.
He takes his touch in motion. That's the bit that I noticed him in the couple of games. He takes his touch in motion really, really well. And as a defender, when you go out and you sort of engage with somebody, but they're nearly in their stride and that touch allows them to stay in their stride, it's scary because you're like, he doesn't have to slow down to do it. So you're going, right, I need to nearly, even though I'm on my way out to close you, I nearly need to be backpedalling as he's taking his touch. He glides a little bit. I thought he took his goal really well when he got in, like David said, just put his head down. But his first touch before, it was brilliant because it's a bit of a stretch for him. But I agree, I think to rely on a player coming in as your main striker, having never been in the league, he's young, he's one for the future, I think it's a big ask for him as well.
You're watching Spurs-Burnley 1-0, the only goal in the matches today so far. Richarlison, Nolan.
Richarlison, yeah, great finish. He's. Do you think he's enough for Tottenham this year?
Well, I think that they want to sign Eze and Savinho, if you believe the writers, the football writers out there. And
neither of them are a striker already.
No, they're not. They're, yeah. I mean, they got Solanke and you have Richarlison, but they need another one.
To be fair, look, I think the signing of Poligno, I know he's not playing today, is a great signing for Tottenham. But I think, like, Solanke, you know, he's obviously on the bench there as well, but they definitely need more firepower up front if they're going to be challenging for them top four, top six.
Well,
they've
Harry Kane, like, you know, for years, keeping them in the, I suppose, in the upper echelons of the table.
What's success for Tottenham this year?
Spending more money.
League position, what's success?
Success for Tottenham is not having a wage to ratio of turnover of 42%.
Right. But, like, in terms of league position.
But that's it. That's the ultimate. That's the ball game. That's the ball game for Spurs. They don't spend enough money compared to, say, what Arsenal or Chelsea would spend. And their recruitment has not been good enough over the last 10 years, and they've regressed as a club.
PSR champions, do you not take that title now?
Success for Tottenham is me feeling that they're not an entertainment hub, they're actually a football club. I think the manager's very good. I think he's done brilliantly at Brentford. I mean, David would know a lot more than I would about Thomas Frank's credentials, but...
How do you think Thomas Frank will do with Spurs?
Well, I mean, I think you touched on Richarlison there. Now, if you look back at Richarlison, he has been in the public, hasn't he? Saying he's maybe been down in the dumps in the past, you know, I guess is what you would say. And often very emotional, talking about how down he would get. And let me tell you, if there's any manager that seems to have an amazing man management style that would suit and get the best out of all these players that maybe do need an arm around them, that they might be reach the top of the game, but they're not, you know, they're not bulletproof, like, you know, with a rhino skin. Some have it and some don't. And I reckon Thomas Frank, if anyone's going to get the best out of someone like Richarlison, it would be him. So I think Tottenham's in very, very good hands. It's just, you know, they may need more players to compete with all the other, you know, big guns. But, I mean, I think he's a terrific appointment, you know. So
I'll be on him.
Very unlucky against PSG. Very, very unlucky. I mean, PSG got away with that, and that would have been another trophy for Tottenham. But that may have given Daniel Levy a kind of, like, you know, well, we can keep managing as we're doing. And actually, that might be the sort of... bit of a rock. But I like what Thomas Frank said afterwards as well. He brought a bit of humour to it in terms of saying, well, if he had won a trophy, I might have got sacked or whatever. So I think he just seems to have a very good way. And I'm sure if he can't do well there, I'm not too sure who can.
I think when you... the thing about Richarlison, I find, is that I think he's always been that kind of nearly striker. You know, you kind of look at him, he's got all the attributes. He really has all of them. But you're just looking at the stats here over the years, he's never scored more than 13 goals. In a Premier League season, that was for Everton, 2019-20 season. You know, he's not prolific, and he has the ability to be prolific. I think he's a really good finisher. He's good now, so you could see the ball came into his feet there. His hold up play was good. He knows, and he has the capabilities to be a top level striker. But he's never really hit the heights that even the Brazil national team are hoping that maybe he could do. You know, and I think that's probably a frustrating thing. I'm sure it is for you as a Tottenham fan. When you signed him, I think, right, he was okay for Everton, but Everton were always fighting relegation. Maybe he can kick on now in a better team.
Yeah, and I thought he'd be good centrally as well.
Yeah,
but gets a lot of injuries and only played, what, last season he only played for the Premier League 15 matches. He played less than half the matches. Actually, no Tottenham player played over 30 games last season, which was an indictment on maybe the medical issues that they had. But I'm kind of looking at it and I'm going to myself, for 11 seasons in a row, Spurs finished no worse than sixth. That's up to 2020. And they're off that now. So last season's goal difference was 64-65. They lost 22 games. In 2017, their goal difference was 86-26. They had Alderweireld, Vertonghen. They had back four. They had Kyle Walker there. They had Victor Wanyama. They were rock solid at the back. They didn't lose at home. And it does have to start with the defence. And I think it won't be on Thomas Frank if this doesn't go well. But look, I mean, they've got a new CEO in there. Vinay Venkatesan was Arsenal CEO for a long time, so maybe he might have more of a say and might run the football side a bit better.
I think they need more structure. Looking at them, I think they need more structure on the recruitment in terms of what's their aim? What are they trying to
fix? They do their recruitment too late as well.
Yeah, but like what are they trying to fix? Because they signed these young players, the two midfielders there at the moment, two young players need time to develop, but need people beside them that will help them as well to develop. And you can take, we talked about at the TK being them two, Archie Gray coming in from Spurs, he's playing as a sit midfielder. I played him as a centre back a lot of the time last year. Brilliant, but sometimes needs help beside him. And they just never seem to be, they're always losing players that when you, like your Harry Kane left, or you mentioned all the players that left, but there never seems to be, they never seem to be in the race to sign these players that you think, right, he's,
it
a few
seems
teams
to me
are looking at them.
That they always want to have the best deal as opposed to our Brighton, for example, doing better business than Spurs in the last few years in the transfer market. You have to say, yeah.
But even like just around the, what type of players are you trying to sign to improve your squad?
If you look at Spurs as a business and a revenue generator, and like a magnificent stadium and the Beyonce concerts and the NFL and the go karting and whatever other stuff they've got going on as a business, I think they're making $800,000 a game. Like, you know, it's a fabulous venue, but. Like, is it an entertainment hub? Or
you mentioned Brighton, JD, right? Brighton don't probably have all that extra revenue due to the stadium, but they're still bringing it in by developing players. Bringing in good players, developing them for 3 years, and then selling them on. Spurs aren't doing that.
Brighton reported profits of $73 million in March this year.
And that's without, like you said, all that extra stuff around the stadium. They're doing it from a pure business football point of view, where the players are coming in, impacting, improving Brighton as a team, and then selling them on for more money. I don't like, other than who've Spurs sold for and made money on in the last few years as well?
Bale and Kane.
Yeah. And Bale was 15 years ago, was it?
The thing about, like, if you look at Tottenham's back four there, I think that's a really good top four. If they could stay, or back four, I should say, if they can stay fit. Like, you know, like if you can get Van de Ven and Romero, like Paulo Spence, it's four very athletic players, and you know, like Thomas Frank's not going to play like Postecoglou did. Like Van de Ven was playing left wing at stages last year. It was mad stuff, you know, and it's not good obviously for his build or whatever,
his hamstrings.
But yeah, but if he can keep them fit, and then you've got the additions of Pellegrini to go into the middle of the pitch, a bit more solidity, if they got another one in there and another striker to help Solanke, like they could be something that's really challenging, you know. But as we say, like, it's what I leave, he's going to go in and do it, you know.
What about
Beyonce concerts might pay for
that. Well, that's it, or even Oasis. David Connolly, what about Aston Villa Newcastle earlier? Obviously, Isak is, he's not involved at the moment, and that has to resolve itself in some way. How did you feel that game went? It was a goalless draw. Ezri Konsa sent off.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the starting team and I was thinking, wow, I mean, the Murphy not in it, considering how I thought he could have been their best player last season. I mean, he must feel hard done by. And then, obviously, and that's without Isak. I wondered whether he could have got in somehow. But anyway, Elanga did all right. I mean, I thought Newcastle started very, very well. Played well on the front foot. They were much more threatening. I heard Eddie Howe after say, he's got to be careful what he says. But, he said they were disappointed with a point. And I think there's nothing wrong with saying that. They deserve more, which they did. You know, last year, at times last season, they would play Gordon through the middle, or did they play Barnes? I'm not sure, but they did mix it around when they'd had Wilson out and Isak out. So, like, as a temporary measure, it's fine. You know, if they sign Johan Vissa or somebody like that, you know, I think Johan Visser is a really good player, but I mean, he's not in Brian Mbeumo's league. He's a bit rusty. He doesn't have the quality around his feet that Alexander Isak has. Sometimes a ball bounces off him and stuff, you know. You're talking, you're losing, if he goes, you know, one of the best strikers in the league. So very difficult to replace him. But nonetheless, they played very well. Dan Burn was good. I mean, it was just an overall really, really good performance from them. So away from home, you can't be unhappy with a point at Villa, but they could have easily won that game. And, you know, probably they got away with the red card. You know, would Gordon have gone through and scored? You just don't know. But a bit of jeopardy there. But no, it's good performance from Newcastle.
Well, you've seen the second half, yeah. And Anthony Gordon done well anytime, like leading the line. He was running behind. His runs are excellent. I listened to his interview after. He was saying he loves playing up there. Like, you know, it's something a bit different for him. And he enjoys it. And there was a couple of times where he should have passed and took on the shot. And just well off target, you know, when the pass out wide might have been better off for him. But look, I like Newcastle. I think Newcastle are very, very strong. I still think they're a strong team without Isak. You know, especially if they get used to this talking, I'm going after Jackson at Chelsea as well. Like, they're going to bring in a striker, at least one, possibly two. I don't think Anthony Gordon will be the one that'll definitely like lead the line or whatever for the whole season. I think he's much better coming in off that left side where he can really open up his legs, because he's got tremendous pace. But it was interesting looking at the game, and like neither the first sub didn't come till the 78th minute. Newcastle brought on Murphy in the 78th minute, and Villa took off John McGinn on the 84th from Allen. Okay, thinking to myself, like, these are two clubs that probably want to be doing more in the market. And I'd say both managers are thinking, I'm not making a sub here till like on to show upstairs that we need more reinforcements. I'd say there's all them mind games going on, because as the game was going on, it looked like it needed change, you know, when the subs weren't coming onto the pitch. So it's interesting to see if any of that works when it comes down to it, you know, when Eddie Howe and Emery are talking to upstairs now during the week.
Newcastle's midfield were dominant. Tonali, I watched the first half, I thought Tonali, Joe Linton and Guimaraes were really, really good. McGinn was a bit sloppy at times. Alanga had a great chance, actually. He made a run from out to in, and he probably should have squared it, but he's obviously thinking he's going to, like, it's his debut, he's going to take on the shot. Takes on the shot. It's a good save from the keeper from Villa, who's made, I think that's, they brought him in as well.
He's always
a... Yeah, he done well on it, but he probably should have squared it to Gordon. Looking back, if you don't score, you can look back and say, look, you should square it. But they play, the three midfield are really good. Joe Linton and like just makes such good runs, just so powerful. And Villa just couldn't. I thought Villa were really sloppy actually playing out at times, but Newcastle pressed them. And the front three, Barnes, Gordon and Alanga, really pushed on and pressed them and stopped Villa getting any type of... Villa looked dangerous probably on the counter-attack more. They had Ollie Watkins had a one-on-one with Dan Bourne a couple of times where when Newcastle coughed up the ball, they just went direct into him down the side. But yeah, I thought Newcastle were really, really good. Like I agreed with what you said. Like, we probably deserved to win the game.
If there's a quicker front three, I'd love to hear about them, and also throw Murphy into that. They have got four absolute speedsters, and obviously Isak if he remains. I mean, geez, that's probably how the red card, you know, because in the back of your mind as a defender, you're thinking, if he's in front of me, I'm not catching him.
Yeah.
And as a defender, oh, speed kills, and that's why they're going to be so dangerous, Newcastle. And yeah, the three midfielders started like they did last season. They were incredible last season, weren't they? So that front part of the pitch, I thought actually Villa missed the sort of Martinez distribution.
Yeah,
because I thought it was all right, like we're crossing the box, but actually with the ball at his feet playing out, I thought he was pretty poor, and they just couldn't get out, and they struggled to play out Villa, and then they went long, and then when he was going long, Bizzo, he kicked it out or didn't seem to find his target. So yeah, you know, sometimes you only need to be one player down and you're not quite functioning at your best. So I reckon the changes also didn't come about because neither manager, you know, every point is precious. They've got to make sure if they do change anything, it's going to actually make them better. So Emery probably pleased to get out of there with, like, something on the board.
What about the Isak situation, David? Like, if he doesn't go to Liverpool, is it the case that, look, they just all kiss and make up? Is it easy in football to do that? Because it seems quite strained at the moment.
It does. Well, you will know, because I think Harry Kane came out after a long, long time and lots of years being loyal, you know, service, and said he wanted to go, didn't he, I'm sure, and did an interview and all that. But he still kept playing, didn't he? So when you don't play, I think it's very difficult. One, it's difficult for everyone at the club, and then two, it's difficult for the player because you've got to get back into the rhythm and are you going to do your best? And obviously the fans love him, and obviously his teammates would want him in the team because they're better with him. So I don't know how it resolves itself. And once you go out on a limb and say, well, I'm not training or I'm not doing this, or the worst thing, I saw a clip and I haven't seen this in its entirety, so I don't know how reliable this is, but I saw a journalist on another channel, David Ornstein, he was basically paraphrasing, or just, it looked like Isak's agent had told him what to say, basically, on TV. I thought it was absolutely incredible. And it kind of made a mockery for, like, you know, just get these people off the screen. I got no idea what they're doing there. Pitch side, basically repeating what Isak's agent has more or less told him what to say. And you know, a lot of these journalists, whether it's, you know, the big ones, Fabrizio, whatever, you know, they often come out and say stuff that you go, well, where are they getting this from? Who do they actually know in the game? Half time, it might be agents pushing moves, pushing their players. And this looked like it had come straight from Isak's agent. And, you know, basically saying, well, he's not coming back. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. He wants to go, you know. And you're sort of thinking, wow, I thought he's abysmal. Absolutely abysmal. And whoever's putting it out on the telly, you know, they should be sort of, you know, reprimanded, going, this just drags the game down. You've got a journalist there basically saying that a player is just not going to play for Newcastle, regurgitating stuff, being told, being fed stuff. It probably looks worse for that actual person saying it on the telly.
Yeah, well, I suppose we don't know the ins and outs of a journalist source, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say the reality...
We can read between the lines, right? And there's no point... No, I don't care about this person. I don't mind saying it.
I think he's obviously pushing very, very hard to get this move to Liverpool. But like anything, if he doesn't go, time is a great healer because he is a brilliant, brilliant centre forward. So he's probably downed tools until the window shut, and then he's like, I need to play, and he'll come and if Newcastle have the bravery to hold on to him and probably don't accept this next higher bid, then what'll happen is he'll play, like, because what happens then in January is if he rots for 6 months, he's probably, you're taking 25% off the fee. So, you know, it's gonna either be he's playing come the 4th of September or after 4th of September, or he digs in, they end up selling him. But if he does stay at Newcastle and ends up playing, what's going to happen? He's going to score goals and it'll be quickly forgotten about. I think like Wayne Rooney situation a few years ago when he said he was going to go to Man City is the ultimate one.
I watched that documentary during the week. It was like on it, like after the Super Cup final at about like 1 o'clock in the morning. It was the Rooney documentary.
Mm. Yeah.
Bizarre.
Yeah, yeah. And like
he's having a bit of a row with Tom Brady this week.
Yeah, that's right. I watched the documentary. I thought parts of that documentary were really poor in the stuff Brady done and how the, like, they made out, like, when you were sacking Rooney, they made it like a bit of a parody about Peaky Blinders and them coming to get you. And I just thought, it's a bit crass, like, you know, you're dealing with people's careers here. I didn't like that side of it. But certain stuff with these Isak things don't sit well with me in football. I don't like how you leave a club or how the club makes you exit. If it's not done properly, it doesn't sit well with me on both ends. I think I said this last week. If a club's trying to get rid of you and move you on, they need to do it properly as well. And there's been history in the game where, to the point where they brought in rules that you can't train on your own. You have to train with a certain amount of group, because the way clubs used to treat players when they didn't want you was horrific and it was awful. And we've all gone through it at certain times. And I went through a little bit when a club wants to move you on. They make it a little bit difficult to try and move you. But I don't agree with Isak down in tools and saying I'm not playing. Like, I don't agree with that neither. You're a professional footballer. I get, but I also, and it's a question I want to ask the lads, because they're strikers, and you get that opportunity to go for a bigger move, and you think, right, oh, I really want that. How do you go about doing it in the right way without causing this fuss?
Hold that thought. We're going to take a break. Spurs 1, Burnley 0 in the Premier League. That is the only game with goals and the matches in the top flight at the moment. We're back after this.
News Talk.
This is Football Saturday. Different day, different vibe. Whether you're chasing sunrises or hitting snooze as an iced coffee to match, find your morning match at Braeburn Coffee, only at Apple Green. So we got Owen Doyle and Graeme Gartland in studio. We got David Connolly on the line as well from London to talk about the beautiful game on this beautiful opening weekend of the Premier League season. And Spurs 1, Burnley 0. Richarlison with the goal. The only matches in the 3 o'clock kickoffs. The goal is between Brighton and Fulham and Sunderland and West Ham. It was a goalless draw as well between Aston Villa and Newcastle with Ezri Konsa sent off. The championship results, Derby 3, Coventry 5 earlier. Portsmouth 1, Norwich 2, and it ended Wrexham 2, West Brom 3. Latest scores, Blackburn 0, Birmingham 0. Goalless between Bristol City and Charlton and Millwall and Middlesbrough. Preston 1, Leicester 0. Latest score, it is Sheffield Wednesday 0, Stoke 1, Swansea 0, Sheffield United 0, and Watford 2, QPR 0. You were asking a question there about, is the strikers getting moves or angling for moves, Graeme Gartland?
Yeah, it was just more for the lads. Like, you get an opportunity to go up a level, but how do you go about doing it? Where you walk in and say, look, I know a club's come in for me. Most players will know when a club's come in for them, because they go, we're putting in the bid, we talk to your agent, bid's gone in, either upset the apple cart to get out, you know, we need you to do something to force this if this is what you really want. But I just think there's a way of doing it in the right way. And like I said, there's also a way a club should deal with players when they want to move them on as well. So I'm not saying, we spoke about loyalty before on this show enough times, but I'm sure when a bigger team came in for David and he's like, well, I want to go, it might be a Premiership team, how does he go about doing that? That was the question I was asking.
David?
Well, I mean, I think I'd be probably a different scenario to you know, maybe here, but normally the club would be delighted and send you packing and then take the profit. So, but I think in all honesty, like, I mean, there are some players, you know, I keep mentioning, but say Brian Mbeumo, you know, I imagine his salary has been vastly, you know, improved. I imagine he would have really wanted to go to Man United, right? I never saw him kick up a fuss. I never saw that he wasn't going to do this, he wasn't going to do that. It seemed like he might have wanted to move in the background, but just got on with his job and the move happened. Every scenario is different. I don't know whether Isak is highly paid, poorly paid, whether Liverpool's his boyhood club or not, or whatever it may be. But I do think even as a player, you just want to keep playing and stay sharp so that if you did get the move anyway, you're in a good place, like you're playing well. So this stuff about getting injured is rubbish. You know, you can't go around thinking like that the whole time. You might get injured and put a move off. And it just puts you like in a difficult position, I think, as like your bargaining power or whatever, you know, and it makes you appear a bit weak that as well, I think, that, you know, you're willing to sort of destroy something you've built up to get this move. So I hope it all works out in the end. And I really liked Isak as a striker. I think for Liverpool, they'd win the league with him. I'm not sure they're win the league, maybe with what they've got as a team, but they're going to be close. But it's a sad situation for Eddie Howe and Newcastle, because I think Eddie Howe's done very well by him and he's tried to manage this as well as he can. And for Newcastle and their fans, very, very difficult. You would hope he could just get his head down, play and still get his move, you know. But maybe his advisors are telling him otherwise. Maybe often there's a lot of money in it for the advisor, which they might not get if he stays. Will he get a new contract? I don't know. But if he wanted a new contract, probably not the best way of going about it. Are they not paying the salaries, Newcastle? I don't know. Yeah. Do they not pay as well as Liverpool? I'm sure they can make an exception, you know, if he wanted the money or whatever. Or does he want to go and play, you know, and win the league or whatever? Difficult to know. But I would have liked if he'd have just carried on playing.
Yeah. Owen?
Yeah, no, I'd more or less agree with that. I think you always need to kind of look at who's around them and who's advising them on the situation. Like, I'm sure that Isak just wants to play football as much as he possibly can, like any footballer really does, you know. I said there's someone in his ear who's has a good payday coming to them personally, who's saying, no, dig in here, this is it, and has probably done well for Isak up to this point. So Isak fully believes in the advice he's getting, you know, which is probably a difficult thing for him, for Isak as well, in the sense of, like, he probably sees this as his own personal team. Right now, they're probably letting him down a little bit. But yeah, like, we won't know until it's resolved and September comes and goes, whether he's still there or not. Like, obviously, like, myself and David played for a lot of clubs. There was lots of moves.
More than Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah, there was lots of moves in there as well, but never once did I not play. And there was times I asked to leave or try to get out, but I never not played, like, so I was always available. But yeah, no, it's just a really, really difficult situation, and it's so public now. I think Eddie Howe has managed it brilliantly. He hasn't said a negative thing about Isak, really. Like, he hasn't actually really called him out on it, and to me that suggests that it's not Isak is the problem, it's the people that are advising him.
Or Eddie Howe being clever enough to say, you know what, this might just work out for us, and we just don't need to, no point in finding out with the player because we might need him.
And you know,
he can't get a move. Because Liverpool say, you know what, we're not going to spend the money now, and nobody else is.
And it's a big thing for the club and the Saudi regime as well. If they're, are they actually going to be a serious club here?
They've no CEO and sporting director at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. And I think he was promised stuff from the previous one.
Yeah.
And that's what's upsetting as well. I know there's a lot of nuances around it. But from if I'm in Newcastle squad and I'm thinking, right, there's an element of you're with us or you're not. But there's also an element of I want you in my team because we're going to win more games and we've more of a chance of being successful and we've more of a chance to get more wins, first and foremost. The second part of that is of more chances of win bonuses, we've more chances going into the Champions League, more chances for us to do well financially as well. So, yeah, I'll be cheering him on to score goals, but I also know, well, there's one day he's going to walk out on us as well, and you have to accept that. And most strikers are selfish in any way, and that's just the way they behave.
Yeah. Dealer Waves 0, Treaty United 0 in the Women's FA Cup quarterfinal coming up to the break. Half-time, Ash, the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, 1-0 to Spurs against Burnley. Richarlison, the Brazilian, with the goal. A goalless between Brighton and Fulham at the break and Sunderland and West Ham. Villa Newcastle was goalless earlier. Wolves Manchester City, 5:30 start in the Championship. These are results from earlier on. Derby 2, Coventry 5, Portsmouth 1, Norwich 2, and Wrexham 2, West Brom 3. Latest scores at the break. It is Blackburn 0, Birmingham 0, Bristol City 0, Charlton 0, Millwall 0, Middlesbrough 0, Preston 1, Leicester 0, a half-time score. And these are three latest scores. Sheffield Wednesday 0, Stoke 1, Swansea 0, Sheffield United 0, and Watford 2, QPR 1. Irish lads you're interested in seeing? I suppose the Ipswich guys, the Brentford guys tomorrow, and the Southampton guys, I suppose, come to mind.
I watched the game last week, actually, the Southampton game. Gavin made an unbelievable save at 1-0, kept them in it, and then Manning came on. I don't think he was meant to come on. I know it looks like it's a great substitution, but the left-back, I think it's Weston, got a bit of a hamstring injury in the game, and Manning came on and stuck a free kick in the top corner, well, side netting of a brilliant free kick, and then he set up the second one. So it was a brilliant comeback from him. So then, yeah, and he, look, I think he's going to be important. I think Robbie Brady picked up an injury in pre-season. So Manning could be important for Ireland, obviously. Kelleher going out as well, going to be a number one. That's an interesting one. Travers, the other goalkeeper, has gone to Everton. Whether he's going to play back up to Pickford, you'd imagine. But yeah, Kelleher, Nathan Collins being made captain at Brentford. Brentford under new manager, who's Irish as well. So that's probably the one that I think most Irish people would be looking at this season.
Mm. Yeah, it's very much about the Brentford, the two lads at Brentford. I think obviously it's going to be great seeing Kelleher being a number one finally. And he's going to be busy, which is a good thing as well from an Irish point of view. I think if he can match the performances that we think he's capable of. But obviously, yeah, I think talking about Ryan Manning there for Southampton last week, I know he only came on for the last 20 minutes but was instrumental in them getting the win. That's a problem position for us, that left back position. Josh Cullen obviously playing today for Burnley. Interesting to see. I know the last time they came up, he probably fell out of the team. Hopefully he can play more consistently this year in the Premier League. That'll only help the international fold as well, if he's getting that experience week in, week out. So yeah, no, and then it's obviously the usual was like Matt Doherty. He's going to be kind of probably used every now and again for Wolves, but will be reliable enough. Seamus, I'm sure, will come in and out with Everton, Jake O'Brien. But yeah, not a lot of Irish players in the Premier League, I suppose, this year. You can kind of talk about Ipswich and they've gone down as a good few there. So, let's just hope that come these international games that we're motoring.
David, Troy Parrott, 8 goals in 5 games. Is he beginning to show what we all believed he had for Alkmaar?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to bring him up earlier when you were talking about strikers and, you know, I guess his sliding doors, like if it had waited or hung on there or a different manager in charge, you just don't know, right? He could have easily been a part of the forwards that they've got now with the right man at the right time, but he's doing very, very well. So, I mean, it's great for him. You know, he's banging the goals in. He had a great season last season, started off this season like a house on fire as well. So, it's just brilliant to see. And I guess maybe he could, who knows what could have been if he'd remained at Tottenham. You know, it seemed that Tottenham, there was a reluctance, you know, to really sort of give him game time. Maybe they just had that arrogance that maybe Brighton or these clubs don't, to maybe give some of these players a bit more time, because if he wasn't at Tottenham and he was doing what he is now at AZ Alkmaar, the likes of Brighton or Tottenham would be looking to sign him. So I'm pleased for him, and hopefully he keeps banging the goals in.
What about Ferguson, lads? I mean, obviously it's getting as many games, isn't it, Owen?
100%, yeah. Like, he needs to play football, like, you know, and yeah, obviously we're all a little bit disappointed in how the West Ham loan went. Serie A might suit him better, you know, and if nothing else, you get Gray Learn, and like, there's loads of, we constantly talk about the strength of Italian centre-backs, and that's their thing, you know, and he's going to be up against the so-called best and rough in the world, I suppose you could say, in that, and it's like an incredible learning journey for him going over there, you know, learning the language, it's just brilliant for him, like, you know, and coming out of the limelight, like completely coming out of the limelight might be a positive thing. I know he's not the type of person that's kind of constantly in it or anything like that, but the fact that he can go over there and be unseen nearly and just let his football do the talking is a positive thing. He's obviously going on playing under a manager who's got a great success in creating attacking players, or improving attacking players, I should say. And hopefully, like, Evan gets kind of the same management skills off him to help him produce and hit those heights that we desperately need, you know. But again, he's still a pup, just 20 years of age, still so much time for Evan to grow and to come good.
The fact he wants to go, I mentioned the fact he wants to go somewhere and make sure he plays, like, it's brave for him to come out of that, the Premier League bubble, because it's all encompassing, like, it's massive, like, and for him to say, look, and Roma's a massive club, and to the people of Roma, it's the be all and end all, so there is going to be, I get 100% get what Owen's saying. It's like he's out of the Premiership limelight where it's constant every week, where he's over there. But there's pressure comes with being the main striker for Roma as well, that you have to produce. And but like I said, I think that league will suit him a little bit. I think he seems like the type of player that needs to get sharpness into his game. And you can't do that by only coming on for the last 20 minutes of games, or sometimes not featuring at all. And when he was at his best, before he picked up the injuries, he was having a run of games. And he had, I think, had a run of games going into the game, and then he scores a hat-trick. And yeah, but he's like, he was voted in the best top 50 players under 20. But again, there's different strikers that can be come on and just produce goals. But I think he needs that little bit of sharpness all the time, and to feel, and obviously to get the game time under him. And I think he'll get that over there.
Okay, Graham Gartland, Owen Doyle and David Connolly on Football Saturday. Got to take a break for news. Folks, 0879 180 180 is our WhatsApp number. Get in touch with your predictions for the new season. Who's going to win the title, folks? Your surprise of the season, your player to watch, the Golden Boot winner. We'd love to hear your questions and your predictions on the show this afternoon. We're back after the news here on Football Saturday. Don't go away.
News Talk Daily with me, Ciara Doherty, is our brand new podcast where we take a deep dive into the stories you care about. News Talk Daily, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are here, and so is 20% off when you buy VHI Multitrip online before the 31st of August. Whether it's city breaks or beach escapes, get peace of mind with all your trips, all year, all sorted. VHI Multitrip. That's how VHI does travel insurance. Terms and conditions apply. Visit vhi.ie for details. VHI Healthcare DAC trading as VHI Healthcare is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland and is tied to Collinson Insurance Europe Limited for VHI multi-trip travel insurance.
This season, LiveScore Bet is bringing you more ways to win every single week.
And they've sent it to the screen.
No goal, no problem. VAR payout to the rescue. Leading at the break? Celebrate with halftime heroes. 2 goals ahead, rest easy and enjoy the game courtesy of Tool. Celebrate every goal, every twist and every turn this season with LiveScore Bet's more ways to win. LiveScore Bet. Total betting. Please gamble responsibly. Terms apply. 18+. Gamblingcare.ie.
Hello!
Hiya. Just reading about that awful crash at the crossroads. It was Kate's son who was killed.
Oh, no.
The roads. So many deaths. Colm, look, I'm not nagging, but I've seen you flying up that road. Please slow down. Imagine it was your death notice.
Ma'am, it's grand.
I don't ever want the Gardaí calling here.
Chat to your loved ones about their unsafe driving today so you don't lose them tomorrow. A message from the Road Safety Authority.
This season with Sky Sports and Sports Extra, you can watch every live Premier League match, the biggest European competitions, and much more.
That is unbelievable.
So that's every... and every... That's Sky Sports, Premier Sports and TNT Sports, all for €27 a month for 12 months. So if you just can't get enough football, stream Sky Sports and Sports Extra with Now. 18+ membership required. Content streamed via the internet.
At Ishka Éireann, we're upgrading Ireland's water network to ensure a clean, safe and reliable supply for everyone. Sometimes this work can be disruptive. That's why we have a free text alert service providing real-time updates on outages and planned works over 4 hours in your area. So far, over 250,000 people have signed up. Join them and stay informed. Sign up today with your mobile number and air code at water.ie. Ishka Éireann, delivering water services for Ireland.
Deluxe Bathrooms and Tiling Solutions end of summer blowout sale is now on. Save up to 70% store-wide on Europe's biggest brands. Crosswater and Burlington save up to a massive 40% off. Prices slashed on freestanding baths, shower doors, tiles and more. In-store at Dundalk Retail Park and Little Island in Cork or online at deluxebathrooms.ie. Deluxe. Sale must end Sunday 31st of August.
On 106 to 108 FM, on the News Talk app, powered by Gold Out and Smart Speaker. This is News Talk, your Imro National Station of the Year.
Good afternoon, I'm Tina Gates. The Taoiseach has welcomed President Trump's commitment to ending the conflict in Ukraine, but called on Russia to agree a ceasefire. Speaking after Donald Trump's meeting with Vladimir Putin in Alaska, he says we must remember Russia remains the aggressor. Simon Harris says he's encouraged by the planned meeting with the US President and President Zelensky next Monday in Washington, saying Ukraine must be involved in all decisions on how the conflict ends. Donald Trump's hailed his meeting with Vladimir Putin as great and very successful, while a Ukrainian MP has labelled it a letdown. But Kirill Dmitriev, who was part of the Kremlin's delegation during the discussions, says there were lots of positives.
The US side has received Russian side very well. There were lots of issues that were discussed and many we agreed. And we'll continue building US-Russia relations going forward, despite lots of the resistance to this, but we'll continue strengthening US-Russia ties.
Healthcare workers are holding a silent walk through Grafton Street in Dublin, dressed in scrubs and black in solidarity with Palestinian doctors and nurses. Midwife Ali Murphy is among them.
I'm here today just in solidarity with the whole medical profession and the whole world and just here to stand. It's all I can do at the moment in my grief and my shock and my horror as to what's going on, just standing here to bring my grief to the streets and to not be complicit in what's going on.
The countdown's on ahead of Oasis taking to the stage at Croke Park tonight and tomorrow. 160,000 people are expected in the venue over the next 2 days. These people live nearby.
There's very little, you know, disturbance. Okay, they have to cut off the roads for a few hours, but no problem.
Yeah, so I was happy enough with the ticket I got on premium level, so yeah. They're not my vintage as such, but yeah, I would have been to a lot of their concerts before, yeah.
And that's your latest news update.
Newstalk weather.
Thanks to Ryanair. When the forecast's meh, make it magnifique with Ryanair's low-fare flights to Nice, Naples or Nîmes.
A mostly dry evening with a few thundery showers in the south and highs of 20 to 27 degrees. Now you're up to date on News Talk.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today. 18+gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
You are welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to five. This is Football Saturday. I'm joined in studio by the ex-English League and League of Ireland striker Owen Doyle and the former League of Ireland and FAI Cup winning defender Graeme Garland. Also on the line from London, the ex-Republic of Ireland striker David Connolly. If you want to WhatsApp us, you can 087-9180-180. You can also text us 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. If you're just joining us, folks, the scores in the Premier League earlier on, Aston Villa 0, Newcastle 0, Ezri Konsa sent off, but a goalless draw. Still goalless between Brighton and Fulham and Sunderland and West Ham. Has been a goal in North London. Spurs 1, Burnley 0, Richarlison on the mark, and that match has just kicked off the second half of it. Wolves and Manchester City's got a 5:30 start in the Premier League. And the Championship results from earlier on, Derby 3, Coventry 5, Portsmouth 1, Norwich 2, and Wrexham 2, West Brom 3. And latest scores, Blackburn 0, Birmingham 0, Bristol City 0, Charlton 0, Millwall 0, Middlesbrough 0, Preston 1, Leicester 0. It is Sheffield Wednesday 0, Stoke 1, Swansea 0, Sheffield United 0, and Watford 2, QPR 1. There's an apparition, if anybody's watching digitally, has gone past the screen. It wasn't a ghost. It was Graeme Gartland, who has slipped in with his Diet Coke because he needs his goat's milk smoothies and his blue M&Ms and his Diet Cokes so he can have a proper contribution to the programme.
Thought the news ran longer.
Apologies.
Well, you know, luckily the news is sports news and football news for the next hour. Peter Crouch has told TNT, Owen, that he's going to see Oasis in Dublin tonight, like you.
Yeah. Hopefully he's not stood in front of me so I can actually see him. Yeah, no, I'm straight there now after the show, John. I have no shame in saying I paid through the nose for the tickets as well. It was actually so bad that I think it was around the same week that the tickets came out for Ireland, England and the Aviva.
That long ago?
Yeah, and I told the kids I'd bring them. And then I seen the price of the Ireland, England tickets and I told them they were sold out. Poor lads thought that. Going to see Trent and Bellingham run around the Aviva. And bit of a bad parent at the moment, but a selfish one for me. But yeah, not looking forward to it yet. It's right there after this. You were just talking about staying shorts earlier on. I can promise you this short will probably be staying now about 10 o'clock tonight.
You know, when you were a young lad, were you an Oasis man?
Yeah, I'm not big on music now. Like, Ciara dragged me to gigs, if I'm being honest. But I always said that if Oasis ever got back together, I'll pay whatever it is to get there. But just pure nostalgia thing.
They're
probably the band that, like, I would have grown up listening to. They would have been all the in the car, my old man would have been listening to them on the radio or whatever. So I'm looking forward to it. Very excited.
Are you an Oasis man, Graeme?
I've been to see them before. They played in the Point. I went Paul McNally organised tickets for us and Sean Dillon. We went in. Sean and my brother ended up down on the thing. We were up in the posh seats. So yeah, I've been to see them before, and to be honest, I don't know how Doyle skipped the queue like that. You know that he ends up going logging straight on and being able to buy the tickets. He has someone in the know there, but if I could have got them, I would have went. But I don't think anybody would be giving up the tickets now, Saturday Sunday gig. But I'm not sure. I'd say, in fairness, I heard they've been putting on great gigs, like. So, be a bit jealous of Doyle. I thought he was going to throw on the glasses here in the background.
I was expecting you to come in with the bucket hat, to be honest.
I know. My sister has it. She's there around the corner in the pub there.
You're
waiting
not putting them on. You're going to put them on.
I know.
You get a little viral moment out of it.
If the bucket hat was here, it would have been on, I'm sure. Yeah.
Right. David Connolly, if I remember rightly in the past, you told me you're not a muso.
Oh, yeah, no, I am. I mean, I grew up with Oasis. So, I would... A big Oasis fan. And you know, Richard Ashcroft, who he lives 5 minutes. I think I walked past him about 4 days ago when he was walking his dog.
Was it like Bittersweet Symphony? Was it like that when he was walking down the street? Was it?
Yeah.
Connolly's doing well living beside musicians, isn't he? He slipped out in well, didn't he?
No, no, it's not that. I mean, I didn't move out the way, though. I made sure he moved out of the way. No, he had a bigger... I'm a big fan of them. So I was seeing something the other day. They said that the price of the T-shirts that you buy at these places, like they had one from Oasis years ago, is like gone through the roof. So I would say to Owen, if he is going there, grab a T-shirt, because in the future, they're worth a few quid.
I was walking into the studio today and I thought Bowls were playing today. There's that many Bowls, Oasis, jerseys floating around the town there. Yeah, brilliant, yeah. But yeah, no, it's just the whole of the town there. There's just people walking around with Oasis gear on. Brilliant.
Bowls. And he was at the pub, wasn't he, the other day? No, was he? I saw him, there was a video, he was at... coming out of a pub around, you know, I don't know, somewhere, enjoying the lads. And so that was good, you know, getting out and amongst it, you know, with everyone.
Shane Haddon's telling me there that Noel and Liam are going to make about 50 million each from the tour. So not bad. Better than a footballer.
So, yeah.
Are you moving, out of that estate soon, David? Him and Richard.
Yeah, was it like, I know they... Republic of Ireland, David, like, was it a big thing, music in the team bus and Mick McCarthy playing team, and like for all the clubs, did you just play music in the bus?
Oh yeah, I mean, Mick Byrne would be the one as well on the bus, but you know, if I ever hear you two and my feet are on a cold floor, it just reminds me of Lansdowne Road, you know, because the dressing room there, the floor was tiled and it was frozen. And then we just play you two on a loop. So pre-game. So that's that brings back the memories. But yeah, obviously the music's really, really, you know, pre-game music, you know, stadium music. Yeah, I struggle to be in the house in and around it without the radio on.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I'm not a massive fan of just walking around in silence, so I always have to have something on in the background.
But David, from a motivational point of view, did you ever have songs that were like, I'm going to get that, this really pumps me up for a game, or does that even work like that way?
I wouldn't be able to pinpoint like a boxer, like that song, you know, where they have the walk-on music or anything like that. But no, I mean, with football, it was always important, right? You know, who's on the music, what tunes are we playing? Often the younger lads would decide, wouldn't they? You know, they'd have a bit of carte blanche until it was crap, and then everyone would go mad, and then someone more experienced would take control. You know, that was basically how it worked.
About you lads, did you have a motivational song on?
No, it wasn't really one for the headphones in or anything before the match. It just memory came back to me when I was at Bolton. I won't doubt him here, but one of the lads in the team, a London boy, didn't know who Liam and Noel Gallagher were, so he would have been about 21, 22. He's probably about 24, 25 now. That was when I knew it was time to come out of the game. I think, like, you know, it's just the next batch coming through are aliens. Yeah. You don't know who Liam and Noel Gallagher are. But he, like as David said there, like one of the young lads that always get the list, and it'd be the same tracks every week for every game, especially if you won, you can't change it. You can't change it. No one upset that playlist there.
Superstition.
Yeah, there's always someone that'd say that you can't change it, like, you know. So, but no, me personally, no, it wasn't one that leaned into it or anything like that. No,
yeah, it wasn't. I know the headphones came out in the '80s, but they probably came back around about 10 years ago. We going into the old Four Cup final with Longford, their manager Alan Matthews put together a disc, a CD. He asked Dean Fitzgerald to put all these songs on a CD. Whether it was legal or illegal, I can't say on the radio, but we used to be able to burn songs onto the discs, and we all got one for the car. We had to listen to it for a month out going into the final, and he had all these songs on it: Bruce Springsteen, Glory Days, Blood Brothers, Rocky songs. we'd torn up the games with all these songs on, and we'd be like, in fairness, the group we had a really good group at the time. But it was just, we were sort of half taking the piss out of ourselves at times with some of the songs. What one's your favourite? And it was good. And it sort of brought together when we'd have her on before games for that 6 weeks going, or 4 weeks going into the final, we'd have her on. But that was what I'd remember about it. And then going back to Oasis, we went, the team I played for, an inner city team for a few years, Maryland Boys, just off Cork Street. And we went to America. In US, around about 95, I think we went to America 96, and before, when we played a couple of games over there and turning up, there was just the a gang of like 20 lads in this big bus driving into this, these play these American teams, everyone hanging out the windows with no tops on, singing Wonderwall as we pulled in, like, and the door would slide open and we'd all jump out, and all these lads from Inner City Dublin, Oliver Bond, Royalto, and then about four lads from Talla just jumping out, pasty, ready to play a football match, dehydrated. But yeah, I always remember just Wonderwall just kicking in, just we were like, right, we're 3 minutes out, stick it on, and we'd all just be singing it. So that's, that would be my biggest memory of Oasis.
Hey, the other thing I'd say is, the one thing that terrified me was because I moved clubs a lot, as the lads obviously did as well. You used to have to do a song, yeah, often, like stand up and on a chair. And I remember, I'd have to learn the lyrics of a song and I'd be absolutely terrified, you know, standing in front of like 30 lads, you know, it wasn't really my favourite thing. But I remember then I started learning, right, okay, I'm going to learn Frank Sinatra, you know, Leroy Brown. And that was my song, you know, so whenever I moved, it was bang. I learned it, I knew it. And it went down well, but yeah, and it does break the ice, that sort of stuff, you know, doing stuff you don't really want to do, or it's a little bit embarrassing, but you know, it's, yeah, it's all good fun.
You must have a double album at this stage for songs.
I've done the first verse of Molly Malone every single time.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm brutal at songs. Like, wouldn't know. Happy Birthday is the only song I can sing from start to finish, I think. Brittle with my own lyrics and that, but up first verse and Molly Malone, sing it aggressively and get down as quick as I possibly could. Get off that chair. Yeah, you have to stand up in a chair and hold a spoon as a microphone.
Leroy Brown's a great one as well.
The quicker you get up and down, get it done. Oh, horrible. You can't eat your meal. It happens after the meal on the first away trip the night before the game. And the ding 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 goes off the glass, you know, the new lads have to get up and sing. Disaster. Look,
would you be nervous?
Oh, you can't eat. Yeah. If you can't sing, it's the worst feeling in the world, like, you know, having to been forced to sing. So it took a lot of experience to this. Like, obviously, 7 or 8 clubs in, I decided the minute I hear the ding ding, I'm getting up straight away and getting it done. And then just get back down. And you don't take your eyes up off the plate then. You're eating, it's the worst feeling in the world. But as David said, doing something really, really hard and uncomfortable, it's actually a really good life lesson, because no one cares. Like, it's not spoke about ever again. You think it's the end of the world.
Nowadays, they're probably woke. You're probably not allowed to do it.
Yeah, I don't know if you are anymore, yeah.
But there we go.
Okay. Just in terms of WhatsApps we're getting in today, 0879 180 180, lads, explain the handball rule to me after the Bournemouth centre-back played basketball last night and Vieira does nothing.
Yeah, should have been a red.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, yeah. Like, the fact that they made the decision, we're always constantly wanting VAR to be very quick, and it was too quick last night, which is a brutal thing to say. But like, it's very obvious that I think the ref just looked at the first moment and not the second, where he actually, or the people that watched it back, they didn't see him actually trying to grasp at the ball, and there's a little finger, a fingertip on it, which does take the momentum of the ball away from Tiki when he's going through. So, you know, I'd agree with David. Like, he is last man. I know it's a far away from goal, but he's got the, you know he's got the pace to get away from him. Like, it should have been a red card for me.
How did they miss that? I don't know how they missed that. That's their job. I mean, it was so clear on the video, and obviously all it takes is your tiny finger or whatever to divert it away. I mean,
I didn't realise he was this angry. I didn't know you were as angry as this,
well,
David.
I mean, the thing is, you have all this technology and they say all this and then they don't get this decision right. He's on a halfway line going for a goal. It would have been a different game.
Anthony Gordon refused to train for Everton to force a move to the Geordies. Don't remember the big public outcry. Different when Liverpool are involved. Well, it's more Isak and Newcastle at the moment, but anyway.
Yeah, that's football, isn't it? Where Newcastle benefit from a player doing it and they get their way and he goes there and he does well. And then when someone does it to them, but that's just football's hypocritical at times.
Okay, Ferguson starting up front for Roman, a friendly just starting, says Ronan and Bray. And give a bit of credit to Bournemouth last night, they're a well-oiled machine.
Semenya, by the way, like we were talking about, weren't we, outside?
Well, I mean, after what happened to him with the...
Yeah, but even how much ground he covers when he's running with the ball. He travelled. He went box to box, lads.
Big clubs should be looking at him.
That's
really.
So I think it's his last season there. If not, if he doesn't go this window, like, you know, there hasn't been much noise about him going either. He's definitely a top four attacking player in my eyes, definitely.
We have got scores in the Premier League. A goal at the Amex Stadium. Brighton 1, Fulham 0. Brighton's first goal of the season. Matt O'Reilly with a penalty. And that is their score. Sunderland 0, West Ham 0. Spurs 1, Burnley 0, still with Richarlison's goal. Villa and Newcastle drew goalless earlier on. Ezri Konsa is sent off. Results from the Championship. Derby 3, Coventry 5. Portsmouth 1, Norwich 2. And Wrexham 2, West Brom 3. Latest scores are Blackburn 1, Birmingham 0, goalless between Bristol City and Charlton, Millwall 0, Middlesbrough 1, Preston 1, Leicester 0, Spurs have scored again, Richarlison again, Richarlison 2-0.
You see this goal, JD? You see this? You said he was a scorer of great goals. This is an unbelievable goal. Again, cross sort of cut back, but this time it hasn't bounced. He's caught a flush on the volley with a side scissor kick is what I'd use, and it's just flew in. It's an unbelievable finish, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's all about Kudus on this right side. He just stands up the left back and it looks like he's doing nothing and just this little...
Hapsar keeps on slapping his head. I don't know what that's about. Anyway.
He does this like unorthodox chop. It just gets away from the defender and dinks it towards the back post where Richarlison is there. And as Gareth said, he's like, it's kind of that sideways half overhead kick, half scissors kick, and buries it into the bottom corner at the near post. It's a great cross and an even better finish. But you can see Kudus here, like he just gets the ball out wide and he just chops the defender like that real quick and just dinks it up into that back post on the right side.
Ah.
And Richarlison, some finish.
that's your Gary Neville moment.
This could be his 20 goal a season for you, for John.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think you've much faith in that.
He's got a big smile on his face as well. Honestly, he might not score the goals, right, but he's got the manager... This fella needs an arm around him.
Yeah.
And he's got the manager to do that. So if he's ever going to do well, it's going to be this season with Thomas Frank. That's what I think, you know.
Scores in the Championship. Blackburn 1, Birmingham 0, Bristol City 0, Charlton 0, Millwall 0, Middlesbrough 1, Preston 1, Leicester 0, Sheffield Wednesday 0, Stoke 2, Swansea and Sheffield United are goalless, Watford 2, QPR 1. So 2-1 lead for Watford there. Women's FAL Cup, remember, big win for Shamrock Rovers last night. At the moment, Treaty United have scored away to DLR Waves 1-0. They lead in the second half. We got to take a break. All the predictions coming, folks, after the break for the new season. Stand by. Saturday on Off the Ball, John Duggan with you through to five with David Connolly, ex-Republic of Ireland striker on the line from London in studio, the ex-English League and League of Ireland striker Owen Doyle and the former League of Ireland and FAI Cup winning defender Graeme Gartland. Spurs 3, Burnley 0 now. And it's Brennan Johnson with the goal. And Michael Oliver's maybe going to check something here, but as it stands, 3-0 for Spurs. And a goal for Sunderland, the newly promoted club against West Ham. Eliezer Mayenda, the Spanish under-21 international, has scored for the Black Cats. 1-0 they lead at the Stadium of Light. 1-0 to Brighton against Fulham. Matt O'Reilly at the Amex Stadium. And earlier, Aston Villa 0, Newcastle 0. What are they looking at here, Owen?
I think it's Richarlison. I think the defender went down as if he got an elbow or a slap into the face or the eye. I think the goal will stand. He does really well, Richarlison. It's a heavy, the ball gets forward into him, heavy touch, it bounces up and he just holds on to it really well before he slips it in, and then Johnson just gets slipped in. It's brilliant. His first touch is excellent. It draws the keeper out and he just dinks it over him. A lovely little deft finish. But from looking at the replay there, to me it looks like it's going to stand. I don't think there's enough in it like for the Burnley defender to go down like that.
Richarlison with two goals and Brennan Johnson with the third to the goal does stand. So impressive start to the season for Spurs, obviously against a promoted club. David, Shane was telling us on Wikipedia that for Sunderland and West Ham, you made exactly 39 appearances for both. So who are you following today?
Well, I'm hoping that they stay up. And I think one of the promoted teams will buck the trend this year because they've made really good signings. I think they've spent wisely. There's a real good buzz around the place at Sunderland. You know, fans are in good, like really good sort of spirits going into it. I think they're happy, really happy with the squad, happy with the signings, really like the manager. So, you know, I'm hoping that they like, I know Burnley are getting beat today, but... You know, it would be nice if those that come up, some of them can stay up. And I'm hoping maybe Sunderland do that, because otherwise I think it just ends up, the promotion relegation is almost a waste of time.
Mm. Yeah.
If it keeps happening, if it continues, I mean, they'll just be, you know, they'll make the Championship very, very strong. They'll keep banking 100 million or whatever it is. And and it might just be the same old teams. You just don't know. But I mean, Luton obviously, you know, had double relegations. But yeah, fingers crossed, Sunderland do it and they stay up.
Okay, let's get into our predictions then off the back of that. So, Graham Gartland, who's going to win the title? And
I'm
why?
I'm going to go Liverpool.
Why?
I just think they can overwhelm teams, and they have that taste for it. I saw it last year when the games would be in the balance, they go and kill the game off. And it's the one criticism I had of Arsenal when they were 1-0 up. They never turned the screw. And they never really played down the market to go, right, we're going to go and win. I go back to Liverpool drew against Fulham. They got a player sent off. But Liverpool kept trying to win the game. And they actually went 2-1 down in the game and came back and got the draw. And I saw Arsenal so many times last year, if you went down to 10 men, they were happy to finish with the draw. And that's that mindset of just wanting to go and be ruthless and win games. I think Arsenal have recruited really, really well. I think the recruitment this season is probably top notch. The midfield that he brought in, Zubimendi, and I think Gyökeres are good signings for them. But I think the mentality has to shift to go and say, right, we're gonna go and win games 2 and 3-0 here and really put teams to the sword when it matters. And if they can get that, I'd be fearful of Arsenal. It's something City's had down the years. I know David's going to probably push for City, but I think Liverpool had that last year, that mentality of going to go and really win games and go all out. And you've seen it last night, a 2-0, a 2-2, you're thinking Liverpool get another chance here, and they did. And it wasn't one of their top players that done it, but that's why I go with Liverpool to win the league.
Owen Doyle, title winners and why?
I'm going for Liverpool, but I'm going with my heart more than my head there, I think, saying it. I think if you, like, the three possibilities to win it is Liverpool, Arsenal, City. And regarding City, there's still a bit of an unknown there in my eyes, in the sense of, can Guardiola kind of reboot this squad? It's probably something he's never had to do before. And they've got these charges kind of hanging over them as well. You don't know how that's going to impact things. And like Arsenal, for me, is probably the most reliable thing you can look at, in the sense of, like, they've got the basis of a team there, and they've been, like, progressively getting better more or less every single season. Defensively, they're very, very sound. They've added a bit of solidity into the midfield, and they've kind of got that goal scorer, and they're hoping that he'll produce for them. But again, when it comes down to it, Liverpool, what they already have, and if they are to manage to get Isak, I think that might be just enough. And obviously getting through the whole emotional side of things with the passing of Jota as well, if they can manage all that. Lots of ifs there, but if they do, I think it'll be Liverpool's.
David Connolly, is it Manchester City for the title for you, and why, if so?
Well, I'm not going to say Liverpool, because I say them every season, and if you're a Liverpool, I'm a boyhood Liverpool fan, so if I don't say them and they win, great. I'm not going to say Arsenal, because I would rather City win it rather than Arsenal. I think Pep Guardiola is the better manager, and I think that he will have done a lot of soul-searching this summer about how to get City back on track. And I think Arteta said something the other day about the last three seasons they've won more points than Liverpool and Man City, which is incorrect. Actually, Man City have, I think they've won like 254 points or whatever it is. My point being, if Foden fires, if Haaland fires, you know, if Cherki keeps doing well and Ryan and all this, you're not going to keep a good man down like Guardiola. So they've got a lot to make up. What was it, 13 points or something? Maybe more.
Yeah.
But if someone can do it, Pep Guardiola can. And I just think that I heard Tony Adams over there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought he made a really good point. I have to say, I thought he made a really good point. Because for me, if I was Arsenal manager, I would have signed Mateus Cunha, because I think he gives you in the number 10 role bits, like, i.e. he scores and he's got power that maybe Martin Odegaard doesn't, who is a nice number 8. And, you know, but you need something else. And I agree, I'd probably have Declan Rice as a captain. I thought that was a really good point. And they are going to be very, very strong, Arsenal. Very, very strong. But I'm gonna go with Man City.
So do you see on Arsenal, I heard a stat, not one of their players finished on more than 10 goals in the Premier League.
Yeah, it was nine, Havertz at nine.
Like that's, and to make them goals up.
Well, that's what Jokeres is there for, isn't
it? Yeah, but that's what Jokeres is there for, but you need more off your supporting cast. And if you're going to get more, like Salah gets 30 odd goals, there's nobody even in double figures at Arsenal. So even if Salah has whatever goal involvements or 20 odd goals or whatever, they need a lot of support for the likes of Jokeres, because again he's going to have to hit the ground running and score 20 goals if to make up that difference in the goal tally. So that's another thing, but it's that want and willingness to try and score more goals that I don't think Arsenal have at the moment. They've gone into, we're happy with what we have, where I always think the likes of a City and Liverpool want to nearly go, right, we're going to keep going at just all the time. And sometimes they're on detriment.
Ederson not in the City squad.
Just Rodri's back as well, yeah?
Yeah. Well, he's not playing.
He's out till October, I think,
September,
David.
September, yeah, late September.
He's back. He's going to be back playing, the bulk of the season.
Yeah.
Okay, the teams are in actually for that City Wolves game. So Trafford in goal, Ederson not involved in the squad today. He could be out of the club. Lewis, Stones, Diaz and Ait Nouri, the new signing from Wolves. Nico Gonzalez and Reinders in the holding positions. Bob, Bernardo, Silva, Doku and Haaland. And for Wolves, Sa in goal. Doherty plays, Matt Doherty. Agbadou, Gomez, Toddy. Hulver, Gomez, Andre and Muller-Wolf. Bellegarde, and Munetzi with Strand Larsen leading the line after such a good season for him last time. Your top four briefly, Graham R. So?
Arsenal, Man City, Chelsea will go.
And Liverpool.
And Liverpool, obviously, yeah.
Liverpool, Arsenal, City and Newcastle.
Newcastle instead of Chelsea, okay.
Yeah.
David Connolly, your top four are?
Yeah, I'd go with what Owen said. I'd love Newcastle to get in it. Okay. Chelsea might be, I don't know how, they played a lot of games last season, they've had a lot of rest, who knows?
Yeah, they 40 man squad though, David. They were playing the reserve team in the conference, weren't they, all the way through?
Yeah. I guess the thing is he doesn't want half of them.
No.
So I think how that functions in a dressing room must be very, very difficult. So we'll see.
Okay, the bottom three, Graymar.
I go Burnley. I was contemplating Sunderland. I don't know. David's probably convinced me against Sunderland there. The good feeling.
They're 2-0
up
now. They're 2-0 up against West Ham.
I think Wolves will struggle. I think they've lost a lot. I think they've lost Kuna, which is massive for them. I think they'll struggle. I'm in between Leeds and Sunderland.
Daniel Ballard with the goal.
I'm going to go Sunderland. Sorry, Dave.
So
just make David more angry. So
Burnley, Sunderland and?
Burnley, Sunderland and Wolves.
Your three to go down are?
No, that was my three.
Oh,
yeah,
I think it was.
I think Leeds. Maybe I'm hoping Leeds. This is a great club, great city, and that they'll have enough to stay up. I was a bit of unease around like the minute they won the league last year. It looked like Farke's job was on the line, which is a remarkable thing. But they're the three. I think Leeds have potentially enough to stay up. I think he's a good manager.
So for the two lads here, David, Burnley, Sunderland, and Wolves to go down. Who are your three to go down?
I'd say Leeds, Burnley, and then maybe Wolves as well. Maybe. I mean, I don't want to say Sunderland. I don't want to say Brentford, but I think they might have a difficult start. Mm. Unfortunately, Wolves fans, maybe Wolves.
Okay. The Golden Boot winner is?
Haaland.
Salah.
David?
Haaland.
Right. Two for Haaland there. Surprise of the season, Graham Garland.
Surprise of the season. I don't know.
You don't have to answer. We can move on. But it's like one of these game shows.
No, but I don't. I don't. Yeah, sorry. Surprise of the season.
The clock ticking.
I don't know.
I'll come back. I think Brighton have a chance of getting into the top six. Yeah.
Fair, yeah. Blackford Jungle here.
I think Brighton.
I was on that.
Well, yeah. There you go.
This is my trauma as a childhood.
Yeah.
Brighton have a chance, I think, of getting into the top six. And then I think the other one is Brentford finished 10th. I don't think any of us believe that they're going to finish that high this season, but I know Brentford are favourites to go down. Keith's the favourite to go first and lose his job. But I think you have to kind of just look at the structure of that club and how reliable and how good they have been over the last decade or however long it's been since they've been in there. And I think they will finish in the about three or four places above the relegation spot is what I'd say.
Surprise of the season for you, David Connolly, is?
Surprise? I'm going to struggle like Graham here. I'm not too sure on the surprise of the season.
Okay.
Maybe Tottenham finishing top eight might be a surprise.
That's what we're talking about, the tree going down. There's not many surprises anymore.
No, they're not. I mean,
is it a surprise to say United will finish in the bottom half?
That's not a surprise to me.
Yeah, I think they'll finish bottom half. But
David, top half and bottom half for United?
Top half.
Right, okay. Why top half?
I just can't see, purely because I can't see them being as like they were last season. I'm sure Amorim, with his honesty that he spoke of last season, he's obviously a very talented, intelligent guy. He is going to improve them longer on the grass, longer on the turf. I can't see him being as bad. So they were really poor in the final. They've signed a few players. They have to be better this season. And I'm sure they will.
By the way, Crystal Palace could go close to Europe this year in the top six.
They want to keep Eze and Gehi,
wouldn't
they?
That's to be huge for them. Yeah, they need to keep that.
From what I've seen of them from the tail end of last season and how they played in the Charity Shield, I thought they were excellent.
And Nottingham Forest, by the way, completed the signing of Amari Hutchinson from Ipswich for £37.5 million, doing some late business. Forest and might get McAtee as well from City. Okay, David Connolly, you've got a brilliant record on the show with players to watch. Cole Palmer, you had him before everybody was raving about him. You had Mbeumo last year. Who's your player to watch this season?
Oh, geez, you're hitting me. I didn't know this was coming.
You didn't read the notes, obviously.
Check your emails. Check your emails, David.
Spam. I didn't even get a Zoom link. I wasn't even going to be on it. Let me think. I mean, I'm not too sure on surprise. One thing I'm pleased of in terms of just looking at a player who has absolutely been wasted, and I really hope he turns it around, and it's not a surprise to anyone, would be Jack Grealish getting a new start, fresh start, Everton. I really like Jack Grealish. I reckon he's a terrific teammate. I hope he can restart his career. You've got to remember, he's £100 million player. He wasn't even brought on when Man City needed him in the final. I mean, he was just completely, sort of thrown aside. And, he went from that image of him on the bus with his arms open and, to the very, very being a hero to absolute zero. So I really hope he can get going again at Everton, new stadium. I'd love him to see just be really enjoying his football. Get someone like that, really talented on the ball, who doesn't always have to go back or whatever. I'm looking forward to seeing him playing and hopefully get back to his best.
I think the Grealish signing is a brilliant signing for both ways, from an Everton point of view, and for him personally, in the sense of the type of player he is. But he's incredible at taking pressure off the team by just being able to hold on to the ball by dribbling and winning free kicks and drawing fouls. And he's got that ability where when he's sizing up a player, it looks like the ball's behind him constantly. He kind of drags the ball behind him, but he's always in full control of it. I think from Everton's point of view, they're going to be up against it a hell of a lot, and it'll be a matter of, can we get the ball to Jack here? He'll take a bit of pressure off us for a couple of minutes and get us up the pitch. And I think that's a really good thing, give him huge confidence. And Moyes, again, he's a very reliable, practical manager. He'll know that that's a huge, huge strength for them. And he'll be saying to the lads, I'm sure, listen, when we're up against it, just find Jack as quick as you possibly can. He'll be able to relieve us for a few moments. So I think it's a really, really good signing.
Your player to follow is, sorry?
I'm looking forward to seeing this Cherky at...
Ryan Cherky.
Yeah, a man City. Obviously seen him when he made his debut for France and that wonder goal when he came on and kind of changed the game in the final moments. He looks so talented, his ability is... obviously, verts and stuff at Liverpool. We've seen glances of it last night. The ability he has, the little deft touches and little flicks and his awareness and how good he is in tight places. But yeah, for me, it'd be Cherky to see how he does.
Your part to follow, Graham, is?
I was going to go with Wirtz, but it's easy to say that he's the most expensive player, but I really like Getatike, actually. I've sort of grown to really like him. I think he glides over the ground. He's one of those, like I said earlier, he nearly entices you to throw a leg out and he just toe pokes away and he's gone. So I would go with Getatike.
Okay. These are the predictions we're having for the season, and
lock them in.
think they're okay. We'll obviously come back to them in a few months' time and go, what was that about? But anyway, Owen Doyle, Graham Gartland and David Connolly all on Football Saturday here on Off the Ball. Just before we go to the break, the latest scores in the Premier League. Sunderland 2, West Ham 0, Spurs 3, Burnley 0, and Brighton 1, Fulham 0. Goalless between Villa and Newcastle earlier. 5:30 start between Wolves and Manchester City. We're back after this break.
This is News Talk.
You're welcome back, folks, to Football Saturday. Hope you're having a great day in the sun. John Duggan with you through to 5. You can WhatsApp us 0879 180 180. Any predictions for the season, any questions to the panel, which is Owen Doyle and Graham Gartland in studio and David Connolly on the line from London. Premier League score, Spurs 3, Burnley 0, Richarlison with 2, Sunderland 2, West Ham 0, and Brighton 1, Fulham 0. Just on the League of Ireland clubs in Europe, Shelburne Linfield again, and Shamrock Rovers against Santa Clara of Portugal for a place in the group stage of the Conference League. Millions on the line. Big, big matches.
Yeah, and to be fair, Rovers were excellent in they beat Balcani 4-0 at home. They were unbelievable performance. Rory Gaffney, another ginger striker in the league, doing really, really well.
Like Owen Doyle.
Like Owen Doyle, yeah. Like back in the day. He's a poor man's Owen Doyle. I know. In fairness to Rory Gaffney, excellent, really good. Brilliant goal, his first goal, really good. His second goal is great. And big, tough game against Santa Clara. But there's, like, going back to the Shelbourne Linfield game, they played each other a month ago. And obviously, Linfield are getting into that season now, and Shelbourne are in the middle of it. So Linfield had sort of suggested that if you were further down the road, it'd be a more competitive game. Well, here's your chance. So, but yeah, there's a lot on the line for it in group stages, and if we got two teams into it in Ireland, it'd be brilliant.
Owen, how'd you see it?
Yeah, like obviously Rovers excellent the other night to come back and turn over the they were losing obviously 1-0 from the first match, and to win at home 4-0, brilliant night. Just like Gaffney again, just excellent, you know, like 35, looks as fit as ever, finishing excellent, just a brilliant striker, just been incredible throughout the league in his time here. He's been brilliant. And then obviously, it's going to be a really tough game. I think they finished fifth in Portugal last year. Really, really tough match. But listen, like, hugely experienced side in Europe, this Rovers side now. So, like, I wouldn't be writing them completely off against this Portuguese outfit. And obviously, regarding Shelbourne, like, against Linfield, they only ever looked like they were going to concede by doing sloppy things themselves. I think they're both their goalkeepers, funnily enough, in the one game nearly made mistakes to kind of give Linfield a leg up, but they never took advantage of it. And it's obviously a strange thing that they're playing them again. Linfield will obviously be now fitter because they've had an extra few games in their legs. Great that it's on television. The first game anyway is on television. That's wonderful to see. And just again, loads on, I think you have to give the league here huge credit. Rovers and Shells are actually fixtured to play each other in between the legs, but they can now cancel that game, so they're both fully rested, which is it's a really good thing, really positive move. So so both clubs give themselves the biggest chance going into this these huge games. But this next week or two is very, very exciting for the league, and especially for them two clubs.
David Connolly, your old club West Ham, 2-0 down to Sunderland on the opening day, 14th last season. Kudus has gone to Spurs. Only, what, 5 wins for Graham Potter since his arrival. They only won 5 times at home last season in the league. Worrying times if you're a West Ham fan.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be a lot of West Ham fans that this result won't surprise them. So I know Potter in his sort of pre-match, I watched a little bit of it saying, you know, obviously high aspirations this season, etc. And look, you know, I think going up to Stadium Light might be difficult for some teams this season. As I said, the place is buzzing, and if they get off to a good start like they have today, then you know, maybe other teams will find it difficult as well. So yeah, tough start for West Ham. And as you say, they lost Kudus, no Antonio either. Yeah. So yeah, a bit of work to do.
Absolutely. Just before we wrap up, do you have a favourite Premier League moment? As we're full of the joys of Premier League.
We were going through them all. I was talking to a load of lads yesterday about this, and they were mentioning Steve Bruce headers against Sheffield Wednesday. Then you looked at the Canio's volley, Aguero's moment.
Do you have one yourself?
I'd probably go Aguero's moment for the drama. I would go with.
Yeah, look, it's hard to go past that, isn't it? It's very timing. What first came into my mind was I was in the away end in Goodison when Jota scored the winner for Liverpool 4-1. I think it was early December. And just a complete, like, Liverpool just absolutely battered them on the night. Jota got the winner that day and obviously came over and done a celebration in front of the away fans, and it was a brilliant moment. That obviously a time and obviously not the greatest Premier League moment, but it just came into my mind obviously after watching last night and that. But yeah, like, it's hard to look past the cant and a kick. It's hard to look past Aguero. It's probably one of the biggest things. Last kick, last game of the season, like, remarkable stuff.
David Connolly, anything that comes to mind for a game you played in yourself or watched?
Well, I've definitely got one when I was, I think I was about 19, but I was watching this, as I said, boy, a Liverpool fan. It was an incredible game, Newcastle-Liverpool.
Yeah, Collymore.
When you know, you had sort of the build-up to it, and I think Newcastle had blown a bit of a lead or whatever. United were away, like, ahead, big game. You know, Fowler scored first, and then you had Ferdinand, Ginola, Asprilia scored his great lob. You know, then you had Collymore's win after a little 1-2 on the edge of the box. You know, Keegan slumped on the side. I mean, it had everything. So that would be...
Yeah.
I was voted, like, match of the decade or something a few years ago. But, I mean, you look back on theirs as, like, the sort of... Love looking at all those great players and those games. That's got to be up there, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of just trying to sift through if I can find your first goal, David.
It was against West Brom.
Right.
I'm on my debut for Wigan in the Premier League. So that was something I'd waited a long time for. And then, like, when it came, it was really pleasing. But I think as someone who loves football and watched a lot of football, you know, you certainly look back on those games, like, with it's probably Martin Tyler commentary, you know, for the Liverpool Newcastle one. You know, those are, and I loved Kevin Keegan as well because he was a former Liverpool player. I loved that, his interview, you know, that passion that you kind of get with the likes of Kevin Keegan, you know. So no, he was that had everything.
Yeah, I was producing an old show called Premier League Live on Today FM, our sister station, back in 2012 when the Aguero thing happened. It was incredible to be listening to that and the commentary, Ron Jones and Mick Martin at the time, just to, like, it was Michael Thomas. I remember I was 10 when that happened and he scored the last kick of the game for Arsenal against Liverpool in 89. It was a similar moment for the new generation, you know, and also City hadn't won in 44 years, and look, they may be viewed differently now given the petrol state money and everything, but at the time it was something novel for Manchester City to win a league title in the way they did it, and not nearly throwing it away as well. Best match I ever saw from a personal point of view, I saw Tottenham batter Manchester City under Guardiola 2-0 at White Hart Lane, the last season of the lane, the season they went unbeaten and the season they finished second, and they were amazing. So just to see Son and Ali when he was playing brilliantly, that was something that came to mind, you know. But there've been some incredible matches, incredible. Like, folks, look, we all want to support League of Ireland clubs, and we should. I think you can do both. You can support League of Ireland clubs,
absolutely.
But you can also get over to a match like the Leeds fans last week. It was, you know, startling to see how many of them were there at the Aviva.
We said that last week on here. I was on it with Keith Tracy, saying, like, you just love watching football, and then you grew up on their memories of Monday night football. And we used to actually, a friend of mine used to tape the game for us. We didn't have Sky Sports, we couldn't afford it at the time. So a lad used to tape it, and my brother would run down with the tape and we'd watch it. We're out looking at the score. So, like, the Man United 3-3 game with Liverpool, Ruddock's header, we didn't know what score that was. We were just sitting, we were watching it from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock when the tape came down. Like, just because, let's just watch this. And then, we've our head in our hands going, now check something, we're 3-0 down, this can't be this bad. And then, but like, we're watching that 2 hours later because we just wanted to watch a game of football. And you can have them moments where, and we go to watch League of Ireland games all the time. I bring our kids because it's on our doorstep and it's great and we'll always support it. But it doesn't mean you can vanish away all these memories you have of growing up watching football and going out in the, like he mentioned the Collymore one. John Barnes is playing 1-2s all the way up the box. Like, I wanted to be John Barnes and Paul McGrath when I was a kid. Like, I was never going to be either of them. But it was like that. That's what made you want to go out and play football as well. But Salah had a moment when the year Liverpool won the cup or won the league, the first year under Klopp, I think Alisson kicked it over his shoulder against Man United, scored into the cup, and it was the first time since I was a kid that I thought Liverpool were going to win the league here, and all the fans were singing, we're going to win the league. And I was like, right. And nobody had done it yet at Liverpool at that point. They were miles ahead of City. But it was the first time, I think, even the song leaked out into Anfield. And I thought, I'm gonna actually watch Liverpool win a league again, which I didn't think was going to happen for a long, long time.
We've had late goals in the Premier League as well. Fulham have equalised away to Brighton 1-1. And that is Rodrigo Muniz who's got the goal at the Amex Stadium. And a result, Sunderland 3, West Ham 0. What a start for Sunderland to the new season. Wilson Isidor with the third goal for the Black Hats against West Ham. And Spurs have beaten Burnley 3-0. Two goals from Richarlison and Brennan Johnson with the other goal. It finished earlier, Aston Villa 0, Newcastle 0. And Wolves and Manchester City kick off at 5:30 of the Championship results. Derby 3, Coventry 5. Portsmouth 1, Norwich 2, and Wrexham 2, West Brom 3 from earlier. Two matches have finished. Bristol City 0, Charlton 0, and Preston 2, Leicester 1. Latest scores and stoppage time are Blackburn Rovers 1, Birmingham 1, Millwall 0, Middlesbrough 2, Sheffield Wednesday 0, Stoke 3, Swansea 1, Sheffield United 0, and Watford 2, QPR 1. It is finished at the Amex. Brighton 1, Fulham 1. All the Premier League results are in. David Connolly, thanks so much. Look forward to chatting again soon.
Yeah, take care, guys.
David Connolly there on the line, and Graham Gartland and Owen Doyle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Eddie.
Enjoy Oasis, Owen.
Will do.
What's the story, Owen Doyle? Have a great night, and everybody else at Croke Park, folks. We got to leave it there. We're back tomorrow with Off the Ball, 1 to 7 here on News Talk for Off the Ball Sunday. We got two live and exclusive commentaries to bring you from the Premier League on this opening weekend of the season. So, first up, Stephen Doyle and Brian Kerr are going to call Nottingham Forest against Keith Andrews Brentford. And then Nathan Murphy and Keith Tracy will provide commentary of the showdown between Manchester United and Arsenal. We'll also have the best of the Sunday paper review with Declan Lynch and Linda Marr. So be sure to tune in tomorrow for our first live games of the season here. Thanks for listening to us on your radio across the country here on News Talk today. Have a great evening and we'll speak soon. Bye-bye.
In other news, I typed in that number that rang me.
Oh yeah.
And do you know what shows up? Dublin City Council.
Oh, do you need a visa to...
I need a visa to live here. Is this a Cork thing?
It is a Cork thing. Yeah.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.